Go Bible Today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're discussing today the issue, will the state of Florida become the murder capital of the nation? Will Florida become the murder capital of the nation? We're couching it in that fashion because on the ballot, if you've already been to the voting booth, you know what I'm saying. If you've looked at your preliminary ballot that you received in the mail, if you're in the state of Florida, you recognize there's 6 amendments, proposed amendments. Number 3 is to put pot in every pocket in the state of Florida. We've already talked extensively about that. Today we're talking about Amendment 4. I call it the murder amendment. It is murder by way of abortion, and that is the key element in the Kamala Harris and Tim Walz movement to be elected. That is their major primary number one agenda, as Kamala Harris says herself. So in discussing that, we're talking with Andrew Scherville. Andrew is the founder and director of the Florida Voice for the Unborn. Andrew is a Christian attorney. Andrew has a passion for saving unborn lives, protecting the unborn lives. And we're talking with Andrew, and just before our news break, we were ending our discussion on the fact that Kamala Harris and others are trying to say that it was Donald Trump that canceled the Roe versus Wade. It was not Trump that canceled it. It was the U.S. Supreme Court. U.S. Supreme Court, I may think, made the right decision. And as Andrew was saying just before our break, that it's reverted back to the states, as it should be, for states' rights to make the decision. And right now we're in a real hand-to-hand combat battle down to the wire. The countdown clock is ticking for the November the 5th election. And it is my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, that every Christian ought to be engaged. Andrew, I'm going to take a minute to read a one paragraph out of about 3 paragraphs, one paragraph from an email or a text message I received from a listener just a few days ago. He said, "Thank you as always for your courageous stand for God and liberty. I enjoyed your recent message about voting based on passages in Exodus, your radio program. Somehow we have to convince Christians to vote the Bible. Honestly, I can't imagine why any Christian would not come out in record numbers to defeat Amendment 4, if no other reason. I have been shocked by the number of churches that have not said peep about Amendment 4. He goes on to talk about churches. He said, that is purposeful ignorance and the plight of millions of babies, and I won't go back talking about a church he had visited, refused to talk about it. Apparently, they're more social club instead of Bible-believing New Testament churches. Andrew, before we get into the essence of, the nuts and bolts of Amendment 4, what in your thoughts, how can we, and even this last 11th hour conversation about Amendment 4, what do we need to say, what do we need to do to motivate Christians to vote, and to vote biblical, and especially to vote no on Amendment 4? What is your recommendation? Speak for a moment to our listeners, challenging them to honor God, to honor God's word, and to vote no on Amendment 4.
Well, the time now to be bold. It's the time now to be bold and courageous. So if you've kind of been on the sidelines, you know, maybe for many years in your life about this issue, this is your opportunity to have your say directly on whether unborn children get the right to see, you know, their birth. And it's in your hands. So you have an obligation to tell your fellow congregants, and including your pastor, why you're voting no on Amendment 4 and encourage them to do the same. And I've been traveling all throughout Florida the past 6 weeks, promoting Florida Voice for the Unborn's literature and other initiatives to encourage others to vote no. And yesterday I happened to be in Brevard County near Titusville, and I was driving north on US 1, and I saw this big Baptist church, and it had a sign right on the front. It said, "Vote no on 4. And I said, that's exactly what we need. We need every church in Florida to do the same. And you can do it. You as a pastor, I know people get all squeamish about elections and candidates. We're not talking about anything having to do with candidates. You have a First Amendment right as a church to expressly advocate a position on an issue such as Amendment 4. You can put up signs. You can hand out literature. Everything expressly saying vote no on 4. You're not going to get in any kind of trouble with the IRS or any kind of trouble with the state of Florida. That's all constitutionally protected. So that's what we see here in Florida, Dr. Youngblood. Churches that are in two different camps, one that have gone all out and voting no, they have the signs, they have the literature, they have the sermons from the pulpit, vote no. And then we have the other camp, which remains in this kind of cowardly mode, kind of looking, you know, everywhere else but at what's right in front of us in less than 2 weeks, which is November 5th. So we have to motivate that other camp. And the way to do that is if you're in that kind of church, whereas in the other camp where you're not hearing anything from the pulpit or seeing anything visually about voting no on 4, you have to approach your pastor now. There's 2 weekends left before the actual election day, and it's crucial that we get the churches engaged like never before. So that's what I would recommend. Go to your pastor. Be bold. If you've never done it before, now is the time to do it.
Amen. I second that motion. ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking, and Andrew doesn't know I'm going to do this. I'm looking at an article that he had written some months back, and it says, and I'm going to quote him here, "One cannot compromise with evil, and the abortion industry is pure evil. Compromise decisions are simply unacceptable." And I second that, commend you for saying that, Andrew. I'm thankful. And I realize that you've more than likely gotten a lot of heat from a number of people. And as you've just challenged our listeners and the churches and pastors and Christians in general, but pastors in specific, I've done that for many, 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 many years on a variety of issues. And I think it's time that Christians come out of the closet. I think it's time Christians be heard and seen. I think it's time pastors stand in the pulpit and without fear or favor, speak the truth in love, what the Word of God says, and in this case, it is so imperative because, Andrew, I don't know if our listeners really grasp the weight of what will happen in the state of Florida if Amendment 4 passes. And I just simply say the risk is too great. We cannot risk it. We must all go out in numbers. And, Andrew, this may be something that you've thought of and done, but I find it is refreshing. I've challenged our listeners, and I've had several that I've interviewed, and I've challenged them in the interview to ask those that they are associated with, affiliated with, that they know, to ask each of those with their handheld devices to take that handheld device and every contact they have in there to send them a brief note. I'm voting no on Amendment 4, or I'm voting no on Amendment 3, or I'm voting for President Trump, and send that brief note to everyone in your contact list. I had a recent one that I challenged to do that. They sent a note out by way of their handheld device to 3,000 contacts saying to vote no on Amendment 3 and 4 and to vote yes on Donald J. Trump. And I commend that. I believe we have an electronic world and a system that we're in today, technologically advanced. I'm not technologically advanced, but it doesn't take a guru, technologically speaking, to be able to send that brief note out in your handheld device. So I'm challenging our listeners today, as the countdown clock is counting down to zero, if you will, for the election day on November the 5th, take your handheld device, do it today, don't procrastinate, and send a note. You just tell them, I'm voting no on 3 and 4. I'm voting for President Trump. Would you please prayerfully consider doing the same? Send it out. We could send that note out, Andrew, I believe, to hundreds of thousands of people in a 24-hour cycle if our listeners would just simply take note and do that. Andrew, before we get into the piece-by-piece review of Amendment 4, and where our time is rapidly dissipating on us, but I want you to express to our listeners, if you have the statistical data, how many babies are being murdered each day, each year, each month in the state of Florida?
Well, prior to the heartbeat bill's implementation on May 1st, it was over 84,000 unborn children who were killed in abortions in Florida in 2023 alone. So since Governor, to put it in perspective, and it's been increasing every single year since 2018, 2019, since Governor DeSantis first took office. Now, we can't blame just one person or one entity. There's a lot of factors that lead to that. But the real thing is that in Florida, we, for many decades, were not able to do as much as we could for the unborn. And there was a lot of reasons for that. It had to do with our Florida Supreme Court's wrong interpretation of our state constitution, which they finally got rid of also on April 1st of this year after decades of misinterpreting our privacy clause in our state constitution. Also, there was a lack of urgency in Tallahassee in terms of protecting our unborn brothers and sisters in ways that we could under Roe versus Wade. But that's one of the reasons why I started Florida Voice for the Unborn, to kind of light a fire under our Republican majority legislature, which we've had for more than actually pretty much close to three decades at this point, and our Republican governors as well. A lot of people don't realize that because Florida has trended so conservatively in the past, especially in the past decade and a half, but that we are one of the leading states. Before May 1st of this year, we were one of the leading states in terms of the numbers of unborn children who were killed in surgical and chemical abortions. And we also had one of the highest concentrations of, as you rightly call them, murder mills operating. We had over 50 operating murder mills. Now, most of them have remained open since the Heartbeat Protection Act's implementation on May 1st, and that's because I suspect they are trying to run out the clock to see if they can get Amendment 4 passed. And if it doesn't pass, which we believe it won't, if every Christian and every conservative and every patriot turns out and votes no and keeps us under that crucial 60% threshold that the abortion industry needs for passage. But when Amendment 4 is defeated, I believe that at least half of those current operating abortion centers, murder mills, will close in the state of Florida. But in order to make Florida totally abortion-free, we need to have them all closed and cut off the supply. That is the end goal. But in order to get there, we need to get past November 5th, and we need to defeat Amendment 4.
Absolutely. Andrew, we've got a caller holding. We're going to wait just a moment to pick him up because I want to read this Amendment 4 to our listeners. No law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's health care provider. This amendment does not change the legislature's constitutional authority to require notification to a parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion. take a moment and let's get into the nuts and bolts of this. Since the constitutional amendment states no law shall prohibit, penalize, et cetera, what does that connote? What does it say? What should our listeners understand? And the reason I'm asking that question, Andrew, because I've had a lot of people that have said, well, you know, if this passes, the legislature still go back. They can pass new laws that will change it or undermine it or reword it. Is that true or false? Tell our listeners the danger of this being codified in that fashion in the Constitution.
Simply stated, that's false. The notion that the legislature will somehow be able to clap back on this amendment. And if you look at other states that have passed these similar pro-abortion ballot constitutional amendments since the fall of Roe versus Wade, including in the red state of Ohio, the legislature's hands have been tied. And that's exactly what would happen in Florida. That's what they mean when they say no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability. They mean no law. So it's plain as day written right into the Constitution. That part is unambiguous. But see, the abortion industry always has to try to deceive because they try to make it seem more reasonable than what it actually is. And, you know, the second part is that it's the gigantic loophole that they put in there. It says, or when necessary to protect the patient's health as determined by the patient's health care provider. That means up until birth. That's what you have to see. That's the loophole, up until birth, because they don't determine and define what patient's health means, and they don't also define in this amendment what health care provider means. And so I know what they're going to do is that they're going to go to the state courts if Amendment 4 were to pass, which, again, it won't. But if it were to pass, they would return to the state courts, and they would ask for the broadest interpretation possible. And I believe that the state courts, looking at prior case law and other authorities in current Florida law, they would have no other choice but to interpret that clause as broadly as possible, giving the abortion industry what it really wants, which is abortion up until birth. They can't put that explicitly into the text of the amendment because most people would recoil and say, no way, you know. So they use this confusing language. And the second part of that is the second sentence, which you read about parental notification. Yes, parental notification wouldn't go away under this amendment, but parental notification is meaningless. Parental consent is what we actually really have on the books, and that would go away. So parental notification means you would be, as a parent, just notified after the fact that your minor daughter underwent an abortion. You would have no say whatsoever in whether she obtains that abortion or not, which is actually the case right now under Florida law. If your minor daughter were to try to get an abortion prior to 6 weeks gestation, you as the parent would have veto authority over that. But that would go away under this amendment. And that's horrendous.
Very, very dangerous. Andrew, hold your thought for a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hello.
Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Let me have blood.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, you're so right, because we're going to be judged, right? Giving our babies the bail. And number one, she's a liar, and people can't see that. Everything that Trump was saying to improve, she messed around and started saying, yes, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to take care of the border. And I know that's flat out lie.
Well, Kenneth, what you're saying is she is trying to replicate, duplicate, imitate anything that Trump says he'll do. She's trying to give an indication or a signal that that's what she intends to do when we, as you say, we all know that she's lying about it. It is my opinion that we need to recognize the danger that's looming ahead. My opinion that we need to say no to Kamala Harris. And Kenneth, Let me challenge you, as I have with others, take your handheld device, every contact you have, send a text or an email today saying, I'm voting for Donald Trump, I am voting no on Amendment 4, and I urge you to do the same thing. I'm challenging our listeners today. We're at the last moments, if you will. It's as though the clock has stopped at 1 minute before 12 o'clock, and it's just about ready to go bingo 12 o'clock. And so our election is well underway, and just about the last time, we need to have this opportunity and utilize it as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots. What do you say?
I'll tell you what. I have been doing that, and everybody, even my relatives, everybody be like, you've been a Democrat all your life. I said, yeah, but I see what the Democrats doing. You don't see it? You better wake up. Or this country is
that's
gone.
It.
And your grandkids and your great-grandkids, that's it.
Amen. We need to open our eyes and see what is taking place and recognize it's antithetical to the Word of God and to the will of God. And we need to say yes to that which is biblical, that which is moral and ethical. And we need to do so if we're going to save our nation, in my opinion. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. Thank you so much. And keep looking up. Andrew, as our time is rapidly ticking away, let me ask you a question. You touched on it, but I want us to go back and analyze it piece by piece. If we look at the word viability, the term viability, what does that, has there been any firm decision by any courts, by any determining body across America to identify the term of viability? When is it? 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 16 weeks, 26 weeks, 39 weeks? What does that term mean?
Well, we simply don't know, because it's going to be up to the courts to interpret it that. They deliberately made it as ambiguous as possible. And so the four big things that I think your listeners should remember when they talk about this to their family and friends and why they should vote no is these four things. Think about it this way. The amendment has no limits whatsoever on abortion. It has no definitions for its key terms like viability. And it would also allow non-medical doctors to sign off on abortions. And then the fourth thing is that it would eliminate parental consent. So those are four things that I think your listeners should remember when they speak about it in more in depth to their family and friends and urge a vote no. No limits, no definitions, no doctors, and no parental consent. Four easy things to remember when you try to evangelize your friends and family to vote no on Amendment 4.
Absolutely. In fact, it says protecting, other than viability, and then protecting the patient's health. And there's a major loophole there also. Andrew, hold your thoughts for a moment. I believe we had Derby on the line. Derby, go over with the question or comment, please.
Yes, a question. How does an amendment get on the ballot? Is it all you need a bunch of signatures?
Andrew, I'll let you answer that.
Well, there are several ways an amendment can appear, can be proposed to change the state constitution. The way the abortion industry chose to do it is that they decided they were going to initiate a citizen's petition. Really, they paid people from out of state to collect signatures from Florida voters. They have to meet a certain threshold. It was 891,000 plus signatures in order to be validated by a certain deadline that's set by the state. That was February 1st of this year, and that's the way they got it onto the ballot. But we now realize through a state investigation that many of those signatures that the abortion industry submitted through this petition-gathering process were fraudulent. And that's something that the state actually should have caught way, way before February 1st. This was kind of like telling us something that we already knew was the case. But it's important because it shows that the abortion industry lies. They lied from the very get-go. They were actually submitting fraudulent signatures because they had a very limited window to do so, and they thought nothing of it. They thought they wouldn't get caught. And so we now know through auditing and through other investigations by the state of Florida, that many of those signatures were fraudulent. So I really do not like the citizen initiative process to begin with, because it's ripe for this kind of fraud, and it's ripe for these kind of special interests, and they're always left wing. They're never really from the conservative side, to try to do an end run around our elected state legislature and elected governor to get policy enshrined in the state constitution that they would never, ever be able to get passed through the legislature. And that's where these debates really should be. They should be with our elected representatives, not through one-size-fits-all deceptive ballot initiatives and that permanently change our state constitution. That is wrong-headed in so many ways, and that, I think, is something that the people of Florida really need to sit down, maybe through revising their state constitution altogether, so that changing the state constitution is very, very difficult, just like changing the U.S. Constitution is very, very difficult. That, I think, should be the standard. But that, again, is a fight, if you will, for another day. Right now, we have to deal with the cards that we've been given. And the most important one is that we have to defeat Amendment 4 on November 5th.
Absolutely. Derby, does that answer your question?
Well, but no, I have more questions. Why wouldn't the state attorney or the attorney general in Florida, Moody, why wouldn't she say, hey, we have to check that all these signatures are valid? Until that is the case, nothing goes on the ballot.
That's a good question, and that's not really an answer I have at this point. That is absolutely should be the case, and they should have had a much more rigorous certification process. And that's, again, something that the legislature, I think, needs to address in future sessions going forth, how these petitions, these fraudulent petitions, can be stopped from the beginning. And so something like Amendment 4 doesn't get onto the ballot in the first place.
Yes, I think, Andrew, if I can jump in with this in our few seconds that we've got left, as I understand it, there's almost 40,000 signatures on that petition drive that they found to be illegal, phony, false, dead people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Some that their identification was used, they didn't even know about it, did not sign the petition. And so, as you said, it is fraudulent. Derby, thank you so much for your call. Andrew, in the last few seconds that we have, let's summarize for our listeners in your challenge. By the way, I'm delighted that our governor is traveling the state and saying no on Amendment 3 and 4. What are your thoughts, last words, about 30 seconds before our time is up?
Well, I encourage everyone listening to this broadcast today to get out and vote, and encourage others to do the same. The Amendment 4 is going to be decided actually on Election Day itself. This is a turnout election. All we need on the no side is 40.1% of our people to vote no. So work, keep working all the way up until the very last hour, that's 7 p.m. on Election Day, and get out there and urge your fellow citizens to vote no. It's going to come down to every last vote. Keep the faith,
amen,
because God is going to deliver the victory for the baby.
Amen. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about First